Welcome me back. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31 today. I can hear the air conditioning going. We went from heat to air conditioning in 1 week. Isn't that crazy? All right. We have been looking at the book of Ephesians. We're going to take a little break from that this week just to celebrate motherhood. And so, that's an important thing, I think, right? It has been said, I should have looked this up, but the hand that rocks the cradle, what? Rocks the world, yes. That's an older saying that I heard growing up. I think there's a lot of truth to that statement, but this is what some new research, current research is showing. Barna Research, who is one of the top research Christian, especially a Christian organization that does research on a lot of different things as far as the church, whether it's on pastoral ministry, fatherhood, motherhood, whatever. But this is what they found. They found that only 21% of Christian moms feel confident about their contributions to the world. 21%. And only 14% of non-Christian mothers feel confident about that same subject. And so collectively, only 19% of moms feel like they are able to make a regular, meaningful contribution to their world. That means that 80% don't feel that they are. Isn't that crazy as a mom? But I think maybe it's capturing what moms are feeling like. Mother's Day was started by a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis. And I think we have a picture over there. 1908 is when, and it was in honor of her mother. It later became a national holiday in 1914. But later she would actually kind of fight against this day of Mother's Day. And the reason why she began to fight against it is because it became something she didn't envision. It became more of a secular holiday that lost the purpose of motherhood. Mother's Day, in its earliest form, kind of goes back to the Christian festival known as Mothering Sunday, okay? And that was a tradition in the United Kingdom and parts of Europe. The celebration fell on the fourth Sunday in Lent, and originally would be a time where the faithful, they would return back to their mother church, kind of like their home church, and the main church and in the vicinity of their home area for a special service. Over time, the Mothering Sunday tradition shifted into a more secular holiday. Children would present their gifts, mothers with gifts, flowers, and other tokens of appreciation. And the custom eventually faded until it merged with the American Mother's Day in 1930 and the 40s. From a biblical perspective, we want to honor mothers and the value of motherhood, right? And so there's some great examples in the Bible of mothers. I think of Jochebed. Who know who? Jochebed was the mother of who? Moses, yes. It would be, Karen, why don't you bump up the air a little bit, because I see people putting on. If you can bump, it's at 70, bump it up a little bit. I don't want to freeze anybody out, so. All right. Okay, Jochebed, mother of Moses, she's the one that crafted the basket, put her son in the Nile River with all the crocodiles. She probably would have been turned in for abuse, right? But she put it in a very specific place so Pharaoh's daughter would find it. She would end up nursing Moses and until he was weaned. But I believe she had some moments there where she was able to pour into Moses' life at a young age. I think of Hannah. We spoke on Hannah in January, the mother of Samuel. She prayed earnestly for a child, for a son, because she was barren. She couldn't have kids, and her husband's other wife was able to have kids, boom, 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 but Hannah had none. And each year they would go to worship at the temple. It was always a bittersweet moment because she had no children, and she poured out her heart to God, and God honored her prayer. And we have the birth of Samuel. She dedicated him to God. That was part of the deal. She says, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to the Lord. And she honored that promise. And he was raised in the temple and would become one of the greatest leaders and prophets in Israel, right? And then I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, What kind of resume do you need to have to be the mother of Jesus, right? And yet, I think from the world standards, Mary probably flew under the radar. I don't know if she was anything special as far as the world, but God saw something special in her heart that she could be the mother for the Son of God. And so she would witness not only his birth, but she would also witness his death. One of those things that you never want a mom to encounter. But she experienced both the joy and the sorrow of that. And motherhood does have those moments, doesn't it? At times children make you the proudest person in the world, and then sometimes they can, sometimes the opposite, right? I don't know kids here would ever do that to your mom, but sometimes that happens. And then I think of Lois and Eunice. You see that in Timothy, 2 Timothy. That is the mother and grandmother of Timothy. And it is said in just those couple verses of the sincere faith which was in the mother, grandmother, and then the mother, and now in Timothy, right? And how they passed that faith from one generation to the next generation. And so I want to take the few moments here just to talk to those maybe that are in the thick of motherhood, okay? In other words, you got kids at home, maybe young kids, teenagers. You're in that role right now, right? And while our culture honors Mother's Days, you know, maybe you'll get a gift, a card, flowers today. Our society as a whole doesn't value the role moms play as it should. And in here, I'm going to illustrate it. Moms have various giftings that make moms great, right? Right? I think moms, you know, women actually are better multitaskers than men. And I think that was a God's design, because a mom many times is a lot of different things. Guys just kind of, not all guys, but yes. Moms are really good at multitasking. But moms have all these great giftings, right, that make them special. But often moms go through an identity crisis. And why is that? It's because the same skills that make them great moms often gain them much more attention and much more value in the secular workplace. You hear me? And it may be even played out like this. Especially a stay-at-home mom, you know, what do you do? And so maybe the mom kind of apologetically says, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, right? While there's other people that they'll say, what do you do? Maybe they'd list, well, I'm a nurse, I'm a teacher, I'm a CEO, I'm a doctor, I'm a marketing specialist. They might even not put in that, oh, I'm a mom, right? And why is that? It's because our culture, our world has placed a greater value upon the other things that can be done outside of the family. And we've lessened our view of what it means to be a mom and the role of motherhood. If we really held it in high regard, one of the most proudest things that you could say is, man, I'm a mom, right? Yeah, I do some other stuff, but I'm a mom. Are you following me? Capture me? And that, I think there's subtle messages within our culture, and sometimes not even so subtle, concerning who moms are. You know, you talk to a mom with young children at home who is changing diapers, and dads do that too, right? They got mounds of laundry. I don't know if most of the women, the moms, do all the laundry. I do my own laundry at times, but my wife is so much better at folding. I do dishes. I'll do dishes, okay? Just, she does a lot better job at the laundry. You know, you have young kids at home, you clean a room, and what? 30 minutes, 10 minutes later, it can be a disaster, yep. You know, and so when is the last time you got an efficiency award for your diaper-changing skills, right? Right? An award for your skills in folding laundry, or for the great meal you cooked. Maybe you have them in your office or at home, awards that you've gotten from secular work. But when's the last time you've gotten an award for doing your skills as a mom at a high level? I think that just illustrates the point a little more. And it's no wonder why moms, only 19% of them, feel that they're making a meaningful contribution in the world. That's just from being surveyed and how they are feeling. I think the title mom should be the title that is of the highest honor. So Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 talks about the wife of noble character. So the woman described here is a wife, but she's also a mom, right? And I've spoken on this before, but I'd like us to go through this in a few minutes that we have here, and then I'm going to pull out just some reflections on that. So starting in verse 10 of chapter 31 of Proverbs, it says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her eager hands." I don't know when the last time, ladies, you went and selected wool and flax, but, you know, the different times have changed. You select other things at the grocery store, at the clothing store. She's like a merchant ship's bringing her food from afar. Now it's a minivan, right? All right. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family, the portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets out with her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. The lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps a spindle in her with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor, extends her hands to the needy. And when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. In other words, in the best clothes. So she's providing for her family. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed with fine linen and purple. Again, there again, just talking about the best. Her husband is respected at the city gate. He takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sausage. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And then it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You know, from this passage we learn a few different things about godly moms. First of all, they're loyal companions, right, to their husbands. They're there providing that in that relationship. They're also resourceful. I think of moms being resourceful. And that probably looks different for every mom here, but moms are resourceful. I think of Amy. She's just, she's very resourceful. And I go shopping and I usually buy new. Sometimes she does buy new, but she also gets these secondhand store things. And she can get some just high-end stuff for not much money there. And I said, guys just don't have those options. At least I haven't found any. But she's so resourceful. Even with our kids, we had three boys, and we raised them on not, you know, we kind of get a kick out of our kids because we got the first grandkid coming in July, and they're talking about, well, you know, money and all that type of stuff, and they're doing well for themselves, better than we were at that stage. And I just think of how resourceful Amy has been over the years. Hardworking. You know, moms just work, right? Often, we don't always see all that they do, right? They're working hard. And so the message is entitled Unsung Heroes. Often, you know, if you think of all the work a mom does, so much of it goes unnoticed, right? Hardworking. It talks about a generous woman. She not only takes care of her family, but she's also generous to others that have need around her. Isn't that correct? That's cool. I think of my mom. My mom was so good at that. She was always baking and doing things like that and giving it to the neighbors and doing things like that. It also talks about wisdom and nurturing. They're a sage. Isn't that kind of a cool word, sage? Moms, you're a sage, all right? You have wisdom, and you pour into your children, and you have that opportunity to guide them in the things of God and in life, helping them to make good decisions. I think moms are resilient. I think there's a reason why you have your kids when you're younger instead of older, right? You just have a little more energy to do that. Moms are beautiful. And what's really nice about this proverb, it recognizes that beauty is more than skin deep. And our culture puts so much value upon the outer appearance of people, right? And beauty changes over the years. You have to have a beauty that goes more than just, that's just on the surface. It has to go deep down into the heart and who they are. And lastly, just this God-fearing, that a woman who fears the Lord, who seeks God and walks in His ways. That's such a great gift that moms have. So moms, I hope you realize that what you do matters. If you don't hear it anywhere else, I hope you hear it from your husband, and I hope you hear it from your kids. But I want you to know that what you do matters. And some days you're in the thick of it and you're just trying to keep your head on your shoulders, right? And keep your sanity. But to realize that what you are doing is valuable in the eyes of God and hopefully in the eyes of your family and the church. Nurturing and giving them wisdom, teaching them the basics of life, how to walk, how to get dressed, good manners, be polite, good hygiene, right? Teaching them the things of God, teaching them skills for life. From my mom, I learned how to pray. She's just a person that I just remember a lot of times just seeing her praying. Definitely a woman that prayed. Still is praying for me. She always calls me on Saturday afternoons, early evening. She'll call and she prays for our service here today. And she did that yesterday. She gave me a love to study God's Word. She did do some years of Bible college, but she gave me a love to study God's Word. That came from her. A love for people. She just always loved people and was generous towards them, the gifts. She shares Christ with people. If she has that opportunity, she's sharing Christ with them. All right. I remember she would tell me a lot of different things, but I remember the one thing that has stuck with me. She told me that there was nothing that I could not do if I put my mind to it. And that was a long time ago. I mean, that was just the power of your words, Mom. You can speak life into your children and they'll remember it until the day they die, of how you invest and you believe in them. She taught me how to wash dishes and clean a house. I don't know how I did on the washing dishes. I think I do better at cleaning the house than washing dishes because my wife put two more dishes back that I have to rewash again today. So my mom used to do that too. Sometimes it'd take the third time, all right? What are some of the things you learned from your mom? Some of them are tangible. In other words, you can touch and feel. Some of them are maybe intangible. Maybe it's embedded into who you are. But how did she impact your life? And I realize when I say that, not everybody had a godly mom and a mom that invested in you. That's part of our world. Hence, the healthy family's value. It'd be my goal as a pastor that we can raise up moms that are godly and that follow the ways of God. But not every person had that example, right? I hope as children that you express to your mom more than just on Mother's Day of how valuable and how important they are to you. Amen? So in conclusion, I'm having the musicians come. There's a movie currently playing in the movie theaters called Unsung Hero. Has anybody watched it? Anybody watched it? It's from the same people that did Jesus Revolution and a couple others. But it's about a man, David Smallbone, and he had a successful music company in Australia, and it collapsed. And so he moved his family, his wife, six children, pregnant wife. Basically all that they had were in those suitcases. They came to America with not much. And in America, they began to rebuild their life, but it was really, it's really a tribute to the mom's faith that stood against all odds. She inspired her husband and her children to hold on to their dreams. And so this movie is a tribute to them. And so you would probably know some of the children. Their oldest daughter, I believe, is Rebecca St. James. Two of the brothers, Luke and Joel Smallbone, the singers for King and Country. You probably hear, if you listen to K-Love Radio, you hear all their songs. So this movie is a tribute to them. But moms, you need to know that what you do makes a huge difference, not only in the lives of your family, but in the world. But in the world. With fatherhood and motherhood, I don't think we sometimes appreciate how the fabric of our nation and our country is dependent upon godly mothers and godly fathers. Because those children do grow up and they become part of society. And when those elements, when those things aren't in place, our nation hurts. It does. I think our nation is hurting today just because we are lacking the godly moms and godly fathers to raise up godly children to follow in God's ways. And so moms, no matter what stage of motherhood you're at this morning, you are a gift from God. What you do as a mother is one of the most important contributions you'll ever make in this life. And you're investing in your children and future generations. And if you're in the thick of motherhood, if I can use that term, be encouraged. The investment you are making for your children has lasting and eternal consequences. You heard Amy's story. You heard my story. And as people of God, we must do a better job of holding up high the importance of motherhood. The contributions a mom makes to her family are of great value. Gifts are great, so you're going to get one as you leave today, moms. That's just a token, though. The real reward is seeing your kids, but, and I think even moms, I think, you know, they appreciate the gifts. But I think even more than that, they appreciate the relationship with their children. Just those acknowledgement that, hey, mom, thanks for the great meal today, right? Some of those things are much more important because it's valuing what they do that we often can take for granted, right? It's recognizing them. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Just as we close in prayer. Father, this morning, I thank you for each one here. Lord, you said in your word that if anyone calls on your name, they can be saved. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and their Savior, you are faithful and just. You forgive us of our sins. You'll come into our heart and our life. You give us the hope of heaven as we make you the Lord of our life and we follow you, Lord. We can have that hope of heaven. And Lord, I want to ask a special blessing upon the moms today. We got moms here that the hard work that they've done is behind them. Maybe they're a grandmother and enjoying just being a grandmother and hanging out with the grandkids and their children. And I also know that we have maybe some that are kind of in the middle. They are empty nesters, don't have any grandkids. And then we have those that are their moms, maybe teenagers. We even have some with young kids. And we have some that are maybe hoping to be moms at some point. Lord God, I just ask a special blessing upon moms today. May they know in the light of eternity what they do is of highest value in your sight. It's blessed. It's ordained by you, Lord. It's one of the highest callings that we see in Scripture. And so, Lord God, I pray a special blessing upon them. May your face shine upon them today, Lord. May today be a special day, but even just throughout this rest of this year, may they just sense your presence upon them and your anointing. We give you the thanks. We ask it in your name. Amen. Let's sing this closing song together, just a prayer for our families. Amen. Praise God. Gary, Mary, can I have you join me up front here? If you need prayer this morning and for a need or request, they will pray with you. Just a greeting prayer. Amen. Father, this morning we do thank you that we can come before. We thank you for our moms that are here and our graduates. Just your blessing upon them today. And Lord, I pray you go with us this week and even into just our gatherings this afternoon, that you would just, you'd be present there, Lord. Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness. Go with us this week in your power and in your presence. We give you the thanks and praise. Amen. Praise God. If you need some prayer, join them. They'll agree with you in prayer. Moms, there is a gift for you there. Janet will be back there kind of working with that. And if you want your picture taken, Kevin and Kate will be there, and they'll walk you through that process. God bless you this morning.